Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study that we began last time on the gifts of healing. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon our study today, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and teacher this day, Lord. Father, I pray for the saint of God that's listening today, that they would be encouraged today, built up in the things of the Lord. I pray that you would strengthen them for the spiritual battle that they face each day, Lord. I also pray for the lost soul that may be listening today, that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's never trusted in His shed blood alone to pay for all their sins and secure them a home in heaven. I pray that this would be the very day that they would call from a heart of faith upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in their heart that Christ died, He died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day. O Father, we'll rejoice with the angels in heaven over one soul that repenteth this day. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. Have your will in your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, the gifts of healing. We began last time by asking the question, what were the gifts of healing? And last time we looked at four areas. We first of all saw that the gifts of healing were an apostolic sign gift, number one. Number two, we saw the gifts of healing were a confirmation from God that the healer was indeed an apostle or indeed speaking new truth from God. The third thing we saw was the gifts of healing had a 100% success rate. The fourth thing we saw was the gifts of healing were 100% effective independent of the sick person's faith. Now, the last thing we want to see is the gifts of healing involve the ability to heal in various ways. Again, the gifts of healing involve the ability to heal in various ways. In the modern attempt to imitate the New Testament gifts of healing, the laying on of hands is the usual method employed. However, the scripture made it plain that the gifts of healing involved a myriad of different ways to heal. Jesus touched people. He allowed them to touch him. He spoke to them. He healed at great distances, anointed people with spittle and dirt, etc., and etc., so on and so on. Peter healed people by his shadow passing over them, in addition to touching them. We want to note the various ways in which Paul utilized this apostolic sign gift. Let's turn first to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, in verses 8 through 10, we read the following. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. See? Paul just spoke, and this man was healed. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. Acts 19, 11 and 12. We read the following. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we see that just bringing the sick Paul's handkerchiefs or aprons, people were healed. See, it wasn't always laying on of hands like the faith healers do it today. And then in Acts chapter 28, in verses 8 and 9, we read the following. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. So in this case, Paul, the Apostle Paul, indeed prayed and laid hands on the individual and they were healed. Now, we want to ask another question. Are the gifts of healing valid for today? Are the gifts of healing valid for the day, for today, amen? First of all, we want to see that the gifts of healing are apostolic sign gifts. The gifts of healing are apostolic sign gifts. As seen previously, the gifts of healing are apostolic sign gifts, which along with the gift of tongues and the working of miracles were given for specific purposes that have been fulfilled. With our New Testament completed, the death of the remaining apostles, in God's turning of his attention from the Jews as a nation to the Gentiles, there is no need for this gift today. Granted, people are still sick and would like to be healed. But God today heals in response to prayer, not through faith healers. Let me say that again. God today heals in response to prayer, not through faith healers. The second thing we want to look at is to see is the gifts of healing had a very specific application to the nation of Israel. Again, the second point, the gifts of healing had a very specific application to the nation of Israel. The first miraculous healing in Scripture accompanied the calling out of Israel as a nation from Egypt. Look in Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, we want to look at verses 6 through 8 together. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, he's speaking to Moses now, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So we see here in Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the first miraculous healing of Scripture accompanied the calling out of Israel as a nation from Egypt. Also, healing was a sign associated with the nation of Israel. Look in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Also, healing was prophesied as a sign of the Messiah when he appeared. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18, we read the following. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. And of course, you should have a King James Bible, the Word of God. The prophet, the P is capitalized, and Moses is speaking. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto them, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So we see then that healing was prophesied as a sign that of the Messiah when he appeared. Amen. So, again, we began by asking the question, are the gifts of healing valid for today? We've looked so far as at the gifts of healing are apostolic sign gifts. The gifts of healing, number two, had a very specific application to the nation of Israel. The third thing we want to see is healing accompanied the gospel of the kingdom preached by Jesus. Healing accompanying the gospel of the kingdom preached by Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 together. Matthew chapter 4. And we want to look in Matthew chapter 4 at verses 17 and 23. And we read the following. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, when the Jews rejected the kingdom Jesus offered, the gospel of the kingdom and its associated healings were phased out. The Jews as a nation rejected the earthly kingdom of heaven that Jesus had offered to them for 3.5 years. And showed their rejection by killing our Lord. After his resurrection, the Jews as a whole continue to reject Jesus, with the result that he raised up Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was given a new gospel, not the gospel of the coming earthly kingdom for Israel, but the gospel of the grace of God. The good news that salvation could be had for all who would repent and believe in Jesus Christ. This gospel was not accompanied by miraculous healings except where Jews were present. Now, we want to look at the example of the Apostle Paul. There is no doubt that Paul clearly had the apostolic gifts of healing and used them frequently. However, there is clear evidence in Scripture that towards the end of his earthly ministry, Paul was no longer able to use this gift. This fact is perfectly consistent with the context of Scripture that points towards the cessation of this gift as God turned his attention from the Jews to the Gentiles, completed his written word, and no longer had any need to identify his apostles. In fact, we see that Paul, the Apostle Paul, could not heal himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses 7 to 9, we read the following. "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then we see that Paul could not heal his friend Epaphroditus. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." And then we see that Paul could not heal Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, we read the following. "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." Paul could not heal Trophimus, because we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, the following. "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." So we see then, as we answered the question, are the gifts of healing valid for today? We saw three things. That the gifts of healing are apostolic sign gifts. We see that the gifts of healing had a very specific application to the nation of Israel. And thirdly, healing accompanied the gospel of the kingdom preached by Jesus. So we see that as we looked at these things, the gifts of healing are not valid for today. But now we want to turn our attention and look at divine healing versus the gifts of healing. divine healing versus the gifts of healing. The preponderance of biblical evidence is that the gifts of healing have ceased. They were for the benefit of the earthly ministry of Christ in the early church to fulfill a specific purpose at a specific time in history. Much of the confusion about this particular fact comes from a failure to distinguish between divine healing and the gifts of healing. The same confusion that exists between divine miracles and the gifts of the working of miracles. Divine healing is clearly a biblical doctrine that is true in any age. God can sovereignly heal in response to prayer at any time and in any place as He chooses. This is an entirely different matter from the gifts of healing that involved a man performing a miraculous healing by the power of God under certain limited conditions. Remember, do not confuse the two. Scripture clearly says that supernatural healing is valid and available today to the one who prays, but healers are not. The man at the front of the church who calls people forward for the laying on of hands and healing has no more anointing or ability to heal than you do simply by kneeling down next to your bed and calling out to God in prayer. The greatest proof outside of Scripture that this gift is not available today can be seen by taking any supposed possessor of the gifts of healing down to your local cancer ward. Jesus and the apostles could have cleaned the ward out by healing every patient instantaneously and completely. No modern charismatic healer would attempt such a test or successfully pass such a test for the simple reason that he or she does not have the New Testament gifts of healing. Now let's turn our attention and look at healing and the atonement. Healing and the atonement. And we begin by asking the question, is it always God's will to heal? One of the cornerstone principles held by virtually all within the charismatic movement is the idea that it is always God's will to heal. It is never God's will for a believer who is right with God to be sick or unhealthy. This view is simply not supported by the Bible. Ultimately, God's perfect will is that all men be saved. Ultimately, God's perfect will would have been that Lucifer had never rebelled against him. Likewise, God's perfect will is that our present earth no longer be under the curse of sin, disease, pain, suffering, and sickness. However, the reality is that God's permissive will involves allowing his own to suffer. In the previous examples, Paul, Timothy, Trophimus, and Epaphroditus were all sick men of God. Consider the example of Job. Looking in Job chapter 2, verse 7. Job chapter 2, verse 7. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, we read the following. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And in James chapter 5, James chapter 5, in verses 10 and 11, we read the following. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender of mercy. So it's not God's will, always God's will to heal, as we've seen. Now we ask a second question as we're looking at healing in the atonement. And the question is this: why would God allow one of his own children to be sick or to suffer ill health? First of all, some believers suffer in order to bring others to Christ. Look in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we'll look at verse number 1, number 4, and verse 45. We read the following. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. When Jesus had heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Again, we're looking at why would God allow one of his children to be sick or to suffer ill health? We saw, first of all, some believers suffer in order to bring others to Christ. Second of all, some believers suffer as chastisement for sin. We read in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, first in verse 26, and then in verses 29 to 30, we read the following. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So we see here in the context, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians and talking about the Lord's Supper. And the thing important about the Lord's Supper is one is to examine himself before he partakes of the elements of the Lord's Supper and confess any unconfessed sin and get it right with God. And he said the reason that many there in Corinth were weak or sick, amen, is because of chastisement for sin, for unconfessed sin. And also many had died, he says, and many sleep, because they didn't confess their sin to God, and God was chastising them. Well, once again, we've run out of time on the pastor's study. We're going to continue next time on the study on the gifts of healing. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor's study today. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.